Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work.
Yeah, baby, we went digging. We went digging to the ground there, and we burned any things we found. That's the wonderful Dar Williams singing the Solartopia song with Pete Seeger and David Burns. We are back for another hour of the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We have a very powerful show for you today with Jacques Leslie. Jacques, are you there?
I am indeed.
Jacques, thanks for joining us. Where are you? Well, lucky you. Hop on the ferry and go into the city for me, will you? We're gonna be joined by Judy Treichel in Nevada. Judy, you with us yet?
Yes.
Judy, you're there. And Paul Kangas is also in the Bay Area. Paul, are you there yet? Okay, well, Paul will be with us momentarily. Jacques, we're going to talk with you at great length about your piece in the New York Times about Nevada's bait and switch, but I do want to start with Judy, who's actually in Las Vegas, a longtime cohort and activist against the Yucca Mountain nuclear waste dump and much more. And
hi.
Judy, hello.
Yes?
Yes. And Judy has actually put solar panels on her house and has been hammered by what you wrote about, Jacques, in the New York Times. So, Judy, I know you have to go. So give us a quick summary of what's going on in Nevada now and how you're standing with your own solar panels.
Well, in Nevada, we have a monopoly utility that covers the entire state, so you don't have a choice. And the plan that they offered for people who chose to take net metering was that you could get panels on your house equivalent to about what your usage would be, so you weren't going to go out there and be a big generator. So we did that. We installed the panels. And we've had them on there for about a year. And what happened was during the spring months, you try to save up a lot of credits that you've got that are banked there on your account so that when the really hot months come in July and August, when you're running air conditioning almost continually, you wear down those credits that you've gotten and then you kind of start over again during the winter months. And we just, so in December, they made this dreadful ruling that would progressively increase our service charge, which is just a fixed rate, instead of net metering, which to us it meant kilowatt for kilowatt. You got back the kilowatts at the same value as those that you put into the system. So they've begun to increase the service charge. They decrease the amount that you are given for the credits you make for the sun that you give to them, and they've increased the amount of money that you pay to get them back, and now they have a dollar value rather than just an energy credit. So as of this month, everything started last month, as of this month, they paid us off for all of the credits that we had. So we have now no credits banked. You will just have, you'll make credits every month, you'll make energy, you either use it or it becomes just a little bump against your next bill. So by about July and August, we're going to have very high energy bills because we won't have any of those kilowatt hours saved up at all.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, and
I know this is what Jacques has written about in the New York Times. I was thrilled to see a piece in there. Didn't you sign a deal? Wasn't there a legally binding contract when you put these solar panels on your house?
We signed the deal, but it did say that they had the right to adjust their rates. And, of course, power companies are always adjusting their rates, except we didn't really pay much mind to that because we assumed it was always going to be kilowatt for kilowatt. If you made extra, you got back the extra. And we didn't see it as a financial deal with them. It was just the energy produced that we gave them and got it back. And they had the benefit of extra energy at the time that that they really needed it. And then we would get it back when we needed it.
Now, so they is the utility company of the state, right? What's in the,
yes.
What's it called?
It's NV Energy.
And then the people that rescinded the deal, essentially, is the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada.
Well, they oversee. They're sort of like the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that oversees the nuclear industry, and the Public Utilities Commission oversees, each state has one to oversee their utilities, water, electric, telephone, whatever. And, yes, they made this dreadful decision, and it was, I think you've said before, it looked like it was right out of the ALEC playbook. But there are no new residential solar customers now. My son and grandson both work for a company that installs solar in addition to doing other electrical work, but they install solar, and there are no new customers, and someone would be silly to become a new customer at this point, unless you just want to have solar really badly and you don't care if it pays for itself.
Absolutely outrageous. God, that's amazing. Judy, do you have to leave? Do you want to say a final word before you go?
No, go ahead, and I'll be here for a bit. I'll stay
okay.
on the line.
Jacques Leslie, you have an incredible career as a journalist, and I do want to talk to you more about that, stretching all the way back to the Vietnam War. But you wrote this piece, which it was wonderful to see in the New York Times, although the content is horrible. What do you want to tell us about what's going on here in Nevada on top of what Judy's telling us here?
Well, first of all, I have a question for Judy.
Okay.
What about the possibility of going off the grid and just relying entirely on your solar equipment? Is that possible?
Well, a lot of people are talking about because Tesla is here working on innovations in new battery stuff, and a lot of people see that as something that would be great. It's not there yet. It's quite expensive. And I'm not sure. I think we would have to have more panels if we were going to be able to do that. And at this point, the power company does not let you off the grid or get off. You can do whatever you want, but you're still going to get a bill for all of the service charge and the lines and all of that kind of thing that they do.
Huh. I want to interject here. This is an internet show. We are not regulated by the FCC. So I wanted to say this is fucking outrageous. that you can put solar panels on your house. You have a deal with the PUC and the utility company, and then they rescind the deal and stick it to you. Now, Jacques makes a good point, but I got to point out to you, I'm in Ohio. The Ohio legislature made it virtually illegal to go off grid. You know, if you go off grid in Ohio, you still have to pay an electric bill.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much this, too.
That's remarkable. That's something I didn't know, and I'm astonished by that. They're covering all the bases to prevent anything that threatens utilities, essentially. As the advent of solar and other kinds of distributed energy really means that the utilities business model doesn't really work anymore. And in order to prevent what would otherwise happen, they are trying to hamstring distributed energy in every way they can. And so they see rooftop solar as a threat. What's so striking is that they don't have anything against solar in particular as long as they own it. And Indy Energy, which is a subsidiary, by the way,
Paul
of Berkshire Hathaway.
And I'm calling from Gold Country, San Francisco.
Oh,
Hello?
Okay, Paul?
Am I still there?
Paul? Sorry,
yes.
Jacques. Paul is calling. Okay, we're on now with Jacques and with Judy, and Jacques is talking about solar, so just hang on there, and we'll get to you, and you'll hear some amazing stuff.
Thank you.
It's kind of their business model. These large utilities make money when they build a plant. The customers pay for that plant, and they get a return on their investment. If they're not investing, they're not making. And I've always seen it as very similar to what the old Ma Bell telephone companies must have thought when they realized that everybody didn't want a great big telephone sitting on the kitchen counter, and everybody had a phone in their pocket, and they were forced to become AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, whoever they are now, and to come up with a business model that accommodated that and served it. And I think the electric utilities are going to have to become the same way.
Well, that's what ought to happen, and in some states is gradually happening. But what's interesting to me is that Invi Energy owns quite a few solar farms. They're happy to distribute solar energy as long as they own it.
Oh, yeah.
But rooftop solar is something they can't control, and it's that that threatens their business model, so it's that that they've gone after.
Yeah, I'm sure the same thing would happen if we put a windmill in the backyard, too, you know. I mean, it's...
Right.
Yeah.
And these distributed forms of energy are, in environmental terms, the most beneficial because they don't require transmission lines or much shorter transmission lines, and they require much less infrastructure because they're so close to the consumers of the electricity.
Oh, yeah,
so,
and the power that we don't use when we're producing, and we're producing more than we use, goes to the nearest neighbors until it's used. It starts with us, and then it goes to the neighbors, and if anything is left, it continues back along.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Jacques, you mentioned that things are going on in other states as well, similar to this. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Well, Judy mentioned ALEC. It's interesting, I'm going to forget what the acronym stands for, the American Legislative Exchange Council. Which receives a lot of its funding from the Koch brothers and from other fossil fuel interests and ExxonMobil, has campaigned for the kind of rate changes that the Nevada PUC just did. But not all PUCs are following that playbook, and some of them see that the advent of distributed energy is really the future, and it's the only way to deal with climate change. New York in particular is moving aggressively in that direction. They're turning the utilities in New York into platforms for all kinds of energy. So they lose their monopoly, they become distributors of energy, and it can be wind, it can be solar, and so on. And that really is the future. California is also pretty good, and California, I should say, has by far the most solar users of any state in the country. The PUC there was presented with the same decision that was made in Nevada, but they turned down the utilities. They made just minor changes to the rates. I don't think they would dare cross solar users in California because there are so many of them, whereas in Nevada there are just now 17,000. But I think in the biggest states, New York and California, we're on our way.
Yeah,
well, Paul King is in the Bay Area.
I sure hope it takes off. And thanks for that article. It was really, really good.
Yeah,
well,
I assume it had an impact out there in Nevada.
It did, yes.
Yeah. So, Paul King, Jacques Wesley, who is not far from you, has brought up the California Public Utilities Commission. Do you want to tell us what the CPUC has done within the last week or two and where we stand with solar in California?
Yes. Hi, Jacques. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Judy's with us as well.
Just launched a solar revolution in California by ordering the utilities to pay 15 cents a kilowatt hour for solar, which, and I'm building a house with 100 solar panels, so it means I'll make about $1,000 a month income, cash money on the barrelhead, not credit, from PG&E, which we've renamed People's Green Energy.
I'm sure they're happy to hear that.
The state of Maine has passed a similar solar payment policy and requires the payment of 33 cents a kilowatt hour. And, of course, Germany passed that policy and requires 99 cents, and Japan requires 53 cents. So the world is rapidly going solar, and California has finally joined in. A little late, but we're here.
Well, how many people, do you have any idea, Jacques or Paul or maybe Judy, how many people in California have solar panels on their houses? Do we have a number?
Yes.
What is it?
there's about a million in California that have solar panels.
A million?
Like Ingrid who have 20 panels, and some people have six. But there's nobody, not a single 100-panel solar powerhouse in California yet. We're building the first one.
But you're saying there are a million people in California with rooftop solar? Is that possible?
Well, they have panels, but they don't make any money. It's a zero-sum game.
Okay. So,
that was our hope.
Well, here's the deal. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about California and rooftop solar. And by the way, Judy, before I lose you, I would love to have a conversation with Elon Musk. How far along are they with that battery factory? I mean, if I was Elon Musk with my temper, I would have pulled that goddamn factory out of there as soon as they passed this.
Well, now, we've got to talk politics here. The state gave Elon Musk a really sweet deal to put his factory in there. His cousin, something Reeve, I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Reeve, is Elon Musk's cousin, and he owns Solar City. Solar City also got a nice deal coming in, but then when the PUCN did this, they left. They're gone from Nevada right now. I'm not sure how much Elon Musk, with the great deal he's got, is willing to come back on the state. And the factory is just under construction. I'm sure they're doing research in other places on various sized batteries, industrial, residential, and others, and cars. Nothing's ready to hit the shelves yet. But there are more companies than just that. I think the battery thing is going to be a game changer. I think when you get a really good battery that really works for residential, and some of them already work for cars, but I think when you get a residential one, you've got a game changer for solar.
Well, as an example,
I think a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
Judy, and your
house
disagree. In particular.
Respectfully, I disagree.
All right, well, you can, but hold on a second, Paul. Judy, as a game changer, could you physically in your house put a battery in the basement and get through the year with what you've got on your house?
No. No.
Okay,
we would do fine during the winter, the early spring, and the very late fall.
So you would just have a short window where you would not be self-sufficient.
Didn't hear you.
You would only have a period in the summer where you're not self-sufficient then.
Right, and that's why we had to save up our energy credits that we would then use when we were on air conditioning all the time.
But if you had a battery, that wouldn't be good enough for you at this point in time.
Not really, no.
Okay,
no, and
so
we never had any thoughts of doing that. We knew it was not legal to do here to make money off of solar, and we really didn't want to do that. We had just thought it was great to do what they allowed to do and pay a little service charge to keep the utility running, and everything would have been fine. We were happy customers. And I think Nevada was maybe the only state that didn't grandfather in people that already had systems.
Wow.
And were you given a rebate when you switched to solar?
We were given a rebate by the power company when we put solar in, and
right.
we also got a federal help on our taxes to write off a third of it, and that's still there. Harry Reid got that put in for another 5 years, I think.
And how much was the rebate, can you say?
40 cents a watt.
Uh-huh. 40 cents a watt. You mean 40 cents for every watt that you installed on your house of capacity?
Yeah, it was about $1,800 that we got back from the power company for doing that.
Did they send you a check or a credit?
Yeah, and they got a green energy credit for doing that, for what they gave us. It wasn't really a nice charitable gift.
Right.
But did they send you a check?
My understanding is that in the beginning... when solar started in Nevada, rooftop solar, the rebates were much higher, and they gradually decreased over time.
Right.
Yeah, and
you've
only been doing this for
40.
A year, so yours was on the low end.
Yeah, right.
Do any of the casinos or any of the big buildings there have solar on the rooftop?
Oh, yeah, sure. Lots of them. The hotels? The hotels have a lot, and... some of the major hotels are trying to get out of NV Energy, and that's sort of a battle right now. They're required to pay a huge multi-million-dollar exit fee, which they're willing to do, but then there's such onerous rules put on it after that none of them have really been able to leave.
Huh. Wow. There's talk of a referendum to reverse the PUC's decision. Do you have any feel for how successful that referendum is likely to be?
I don't know, because it isn't finalized yet, and they have to get exactly the right language in order for the courts to allow it to go on the ballot. I think if it gets on the ballot, it'll pass.
It was just challenged yesterday.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But it's getting every kind of challenge, too, from all the guys with money.
Well, yeah, this is a life and death. To say about that?
What's that?
What does Bernie Sanders have to say about that state in Nevada with destroying the solar and energy and industry?
Bernie has been fantastic. His people have really dug in. They understand it all the way through, and they have been great. They're just like they are with all the other issues where they've got the little guy in mind.
So Bernie Sanders has explicitly addressed this ripoff by NV Energy?
Yep.
Oh, both he and Hillary have, and they both have come down on the same side.
Yeah, Hillary has too, but she hasn't been as explicit about it.
Uh-huh.
Did either Bernie or Hillary say what we need to do is what California did and what Maine did, which is set a price on solar so that the homeowners make the lion's share of the income from rooftop solar in California, in Nevada?
They have not gotten that specific, but they're also very careful too, because they get asked about internet gaming. They get asked about a lot of stuff that's happening in Nevada and are very careful to make sure that this stays in the column, that it's up to a state to set those rules. And I'm sure that if asked, they would say that they would prefer that every state do what California and Maine have done, yes.
That's interesting. I want to take real quickly, hold on a second, Paul. We're talking with Judy Treichel in Las Vegas and Jacques Wesley and Paul Kangas in the San Francisco Bay Area, talking about the attempt of, the crushing blow, allegedly, so far dealt the solar industry by NV Energy in Nevada. Jacques has a superb piece in the New York Times about it. And this is really, this is like bleeding Kansas here at the beginning of the Civil War. This is really where the rubber meets the road in terms of the future of solar energy. Clearly, this is pushback from the Koch brothers and the fossil nuclear industry. It's happening all over the country. And this is a huge battle in Nevada, but we've just won a huge victory in California. where yes. the California Public Utilities Commission has put in a firm payback. So, Judy, politically, what do you think is going to happen now in Nevada? Where do you see the future going here?
Well, I'm hoping that they come up with a successful referendum that can go on the ballot and that the power company has to reverse what it's done. We're working on possible legislation that would bust up this monopoly so that people have a chance to buy from a more friendly power source. Everything is kind of on the table now. It's all happened so fast that... But they've created a really good army against themselves. So I don't think this thing will just stand. And I think I think we're probably going to be able to get together with people around the country to see what has happened in other places and just do it the way we did nukes.
Well, of course, it's interesting to hear that the casinos have solar. I didn't realize that. So maybe Bugsy Siegel will come back and... do a number on these guys. What do you think? Jacques, you want to chime in on this? Are you going to do further writing, Jacques Wesley, on this solar fight?
Not at the moment. I've got so much to do on so many environmentally related stories. I keep watching it, and it's something I can come back to when I find a dramatic story like this. It's interesting to me that this one didn't get a lot of attention for how significant it turned out to be, but it really is a kind of utility playbook. And once that piece did appear in the Times, it began getting coverage all over the country.
Well, you did a huge service getting into the Times. And I think, Judy, hopefully, and we'll get to Paul in a second, but would you say that there's a high likelihood this is going to really backfire on these guys and we'll get a lot of blowback that'll... I mean, to make it retroactive, to take people like you who already put the panels on your house to try and screw that deal, that's astounding. I can't imagine that's not going to hurt them.
Yeah, they really didn't care. So, I don't know. We'll see. I didn't get out, but the nuke fight kind of calmed down, and I thought I'd do something easy like promoting solar, and here I am. But I think it's going to do well, and we will definitely be using the article that you wrote because it was so good and it told the story so well. So thank you very much.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you.
Good, Jacques. And stick with us here. I want to hear now from Paul. Paul, you have been leading the charge in California, and I guess it's a big state. I'm surprised, but maybe. Shouldn't be to hear that there are a million houses in California or a million buildings with solar panels on them.
Yeah,
I do want to tell you that we... Yeah, go ahead.
Here's what I think is going to happen. You have to put this one word on a piece of paper. Well, two words, actually. One word is inevitable, and the other word is decentralization. This is what is going to happen now, and it's going to happen very rapidly across the states. What's going to happen in Nevada is there will be a lawsuit filed, I would bet, next week. Here's what happened in California the week after the PUC here passed this solar payment policy is the oil companies and ALEC launched an army of lawyers to go to radio stations and newspapers all over the state saying we have to remove the commissioners on the California PUC. Immediately, they're out of control. They're making all kinds of decisions that are not in the best interest of the people of California. Of course, all that means is this is not in the best interest of the oil companies because this is going to force the oil companies to shut down. There's already 175 gas and oil companies in the world that are looking at bankruptcy. This is how Germany shut down, banned fracking. This is how Germany shut down almost all their nukes, and they're going to have them all shut down by the year 2022. What we are in the middle of now is a worldwide solar revolution that is happening in a way that cannot be stopped. The pipeline from Baku to Turkey is another example of a disaster that can be stopped if we build 100-panel solar-powered houses. And people are always asking me, they're saying, what's the magic number of a 100-panel solar-powered house? Well, the magic is that makes a house actually a generator of energy. You can make about $1,000 a month. And in Germany, you make $2,000 or $3,000 a month, depending on the tier you're in. So it's happening in a way that cannot be stopped at this point in history. And
as a homeowner, Paul, I'm a California homeowner. I'm based in Columbus, Ohio right now, but we are moving to the Valley of Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley. We have a house that has no panels on it. So I called Solar City out there, and they told me, they did a whole calculation, and they told me that I could not put on my house solar panels that were capable of generating more electricity than I use. And
yes, that was last.
Yeah, I about threw the guy out. So does this CPUC ruling change that? Can I now put on our house in the Valley as much solar panel as I want and get 15 cents a kilowatt hour from the LADWP, even though they don't want to pay me?
Exactly. This is the 5 points that the PUC ruled on. One, you get paid cash money on the barrel head. This is not credit. Two, unlimited number of solar panels. Three, 20-year guarantee. Unlimited access to the grid, so that solar energy now has priority onto the grid. Coal has to back down. Gas has to back down. Oil has to back down. And nukes have to back down. They all are going to have to back up as more and more people build houses with 100 solar panels, which will happen.
So you're telling me that the whole package is now in place, that I can call Solar City back and tell them that they can, that I want every square inch of my house in the Valley covered with solar panels. I don't care how much I use, and they can now go ahead and do that?
Will you be leasing them?
No, you will not get the benefit. You will not get the benefit if they do it. They get the benefit. They get the tax breaks. They get the credits. They get all that. Benefit if you own the panels.
Yeah,
well,
you
Judy
have to
was
own
about
them.
To ask if I was going to buy or lease. Right, Judy?
Yeah, you have to own your own system. You can't be leasing from someone like Solar City or Sunrun.
Right, so if I buy these solar panels myself, and I know, Paul, that you worked with Ingrid in the Berkeley Hills, and she owns her own panel. Now, is she going to get 15 cents cash money from the utility for the juice that she put into the grid?
No, because she owns a big house, and what she has is a system that will only power the house that she has. That's a good example.
Right.
Thank you for raising that. Because
when I get out there,
solar panels on your house, that's why people are better off buying a brand new house and solar powered house like they sell in Lancaster, rather than adding solar panels onto an old gas powered house.
All right. Well, I guarantee when I get out there, I'm going to put panels on every square inch of the house. And but if I do that, if I can sell the if I can get more to put back into the grid, they're going to have to pay me 15 cents a kilowatt hour. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes, you will get 15 cents a kilowatt hour.
Thank you very much, Harvey.
What's that?
I got to go. Thank you very much.
Okay, Judy, thank you. And by the way, Judy, thanks for stopping the Yucca Mountain Nuclear Dump. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Bye-bye.
As you put in all that solar, there must be a substantial cost to doing that that will take you years to make back, correct?
Solar panel costs slightly over $100, especially if you buy them from my friends in China. So you can buy a whole carton. You can buy 100 solar panels at a whack, and that'll save you money. And then you build a house with 100 solar panels, which I'm building. And then you your payback is 7 years. We've calculated maybe 8 years at 15 cents a kilowatt hour.
Well, it depends on where you are. I mean, you know, thankfully in the Valley we've got some trees. Hopefully they'll still be there in 15 years.
You know, if there's water, but so I would guess that I wouldn't make all that much. But if you go in the desert, or I mean, in Bakersfield or places like that, the payback must be pretty quick.
Yes, that's why Lancaster is so popular.
Sorry, where is Lancaster, California?
It is east Los Angeles County. The town has a law that you cannot build any house in Lancaster unless it's 100% solar powered. I'm trying to convince the mayor, who's a friend of mine, to up that to 100 solar panels and build 100 panel solar powered house in Lancaster. This guy is a rebel. That's why Lancaster has the rule it has. This mayor is totally 100% solar, and he will push any limit to get to solar. And so I'm hoping I can convince him to build one house with 100 solar panels there in Lancaster.
So, Paul Kangas, you're talking about them buying solar panels direct. Don't go through Solar City or any of these other companies. Put them on the house and then go into the electric business with every house you got. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes. That's beautiful.
Okay. Well, Jacques, it looks like you've got some material for another article here in the New York Times. I mean, this is, I didn't realize that the CPUC's ruling was so sweeping. Are they going to be able to overrule a utility like the LADWP, the Department of Water and Power, and force them
to
take...
Well, this is a state rule. This is a state rule. And not only that, it follows the German model. And more importantly, this is necessary. This is what the governor asked for. The governor, there's a movie showing in Los Angeles tonight at 7 o'clock called Dear Governor Brown. You're not in Los Angeles tonight, I guess. Okay.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm going to the meeting. The movie, it's a meeting, basically. But this is a really important change, and it's not going to be fast. People are just waking up. This is a 128-page document, and we have not seen a copy of it yet. But I've been to every PUC meeting for the last 7 months, lobbying them to do exactly what they did. And when they gave me what I asked for, I was shocked. The PUC gave me everything I asked for.
Now this was a 3-2 vote. Is that right?
Yes, 3-2 vote. That's right.
And how did the Scalia vote? Sorry, Jacques, do you have something you want to pump in on that? I mean, this is really a game changer. This CPUC bill.
Right. Well, what I'm interested in is how this battle is going to unfold across the country. It's not yet clear to me that it's won. I see decisions like the one that was made in Nevada possibly happening in many other states because the fossil fuel interests have so much money to spend. And they will do whatever they can to try to keep those rules in place in utilities, in many cases, who feel utterly threatened by rooftop solar, will do everything they can to resist it. So I think in the long run, what Paul says is absolutely true. It has to happen for all kinds of reasons, climate change being among them. But at least for the next few years, I think it's going to be quite a battle.
Well, I got to tell you, here in Ohio, hold on one sec, Paul. Here in Ohio, I mean, Jacques is exactly right. We had a, before Kasich, you know, this Governor Kasich, who's everybody thinks is so moderate, you know, we had a really, really good green energy bill in Ohio. And Ohio is sort of mediocre for solar, but it's very good for wind in the northern part of the state. And we had a tremendous mechanism in place to convert the state, God knows it needs it, to renewables. And then came the Republicans on Kasich, and they just absolutely destroyed it to the point that they're now about poised to pass a $3 to $4 billion bailout for coal and nukes in the state. They're going to bail out, you know, a 40-year-old nuke that's about to crumble, for Christ's sake, and a 50-year-old coal burner. And, you know, the pushback is astounding.
But I think, you know, listening to this dialogue, that California and Nevada, the two, you know, the two prongs here are really about to decide this issue in many ways. What do you think, Paul?
Well, no, actually, the state of Maine is much stronger. The state of Maine is much more organized. That solar payment policy is going through, and now it's on the ballot in Florida, and that is going to pass. Because there's been a big fight in Florida for the last couple of years. But the solar movement is much stronger now than it was 3 years ago. So,
well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, this Koch brothers poured a ton of money. Well, actually, it was the other guy, the other billionaire who went in and killed the pot referendum in California, in Florida. So I assume, and I've seen them, what's his name? The guy in the wheelchair who, the billionaire. Anyway, well, I'll remember his name as soon as the show's over. So a lot of money is going into Florida, but I think that the cat's out of the bag, or the horse's out of the barn, if you want to put it that way, in California. I think the big fight in California now is really going to be to switch to South Diablo. You got 2,200 megawatts of nuclear reactors, two reactors sitting on earthquake fault there. I think they're going to be really on the defensive now in California. The question is what's going to happen in Nevada. And then once those two are decided, I think we're going to have a pretty good momentum, although you're right about pushback in other states.
Yeah, this is just one kind of distributed energy that's coming along. I've also been just working on a story having to do with many hydroelectric units that can be installed even inside irrigation canals. You could have, you know, 10 of them inside an irrigation canal, each producing up to a megawatt, and you could have hundreds or thousands of these around the country that would essentially take the place of conventional dams, which have all kinds of destructive problems. And that's another way in which utilities will be threatened, in which companies that have felt that they've had a stable source of income for decades are suddenly under siege. And that's really the era that we're in. It really is a new era with a big transition underway.
Well, it couldn't happen to a more abominable industry, let me tell you. And you know, then you raise an issue, an idea. A friend of mine, one of the great figures in the anti-nuclear movement, Tom Campbell, lives in L.A., did concerts, 1,000 concerts for the anti-nuclear movement, had the idea years ago to cover the California aqueduct with solar panels and, you know, to make it a pipeline for solar, which would be great because that would also cut down the evaporation of the water in the aquifer. It would be a big deal. But you could also, I guess, the way you're talking, put in many hydro plants in the aquifer as it pours down to L.A.
That's right.
That would be
That's right. And these are units that rely on what's called low head. That is where the drop in water is 10 to 30 feet, whereas a big dam requires several hundred feet. So just whether there's wherever there's a slight incline, and that can be in a river or a stream or an irrigation canal, you can put these things, and you can station them close to where the energy is consumed, so you don't need a lot of transmission lines, that's really the way to go, I think.
Well, you have written, by the way, a major book on the big dams, and I know a lot of people have had to take a second look based on your writing and the, you know, a reconsideration of big dams, and they certainly have major environmental problems as well as financial and others. They're a cut below nuclear power as far as I'm concerned, but they ain't good, that's for sure. Has anyone talked about putting these mini hydro dams in the canal coming down to L.A.?
We're not there yet. The company that has developed these is it just sold its first commercial unit 2 years ago. It's gearing up, but it has a ways to go. But I do think that's the future. And though I don't think too many people are aware of them now, they will be in the next few years.
Wow, fantastic. We're talking with Jacques Wesley. You just had a major piece in the New York Times on the battle over solar energy in Nevada, and with Paul Kangas, one of the great solar advocates in California. They're both talking to me from the Bay Area, different ends of the Bay Area, and I am in Columbus, Ohio, at least for the time being. Paul, what are you predicting now? What do you think is going to happen with the wake of this CPUC ruling? I don't think Alec and those guys are going to get the CPUC turned out. Do you?
Well, I believe that New Mexico will be the next state where the PUC will act, because they have such a huge amount of solar there, and they have a problem with radiation mining on the Indian reservations. I believe that even though Arizona has already got a stupid rule against solar panels, like Nevada is implemented, that the situation in Arizona will turn around, I believe, in the next 2 years. So all of the states that have the most solar potential are going to be, I think, leaders, mainly because it's the old story of if the people will lead, the leaders will follow. So you're going to see people looking at what happened in California. After this thing happened in California, the local San Francisco newspapers did not publish a word. The Los Angeles Times did not publish a word. It has not been in the New York Times. And so they're trying to hope people will ignore what has happened here and think it'll go away. It's not going away.
Well, so you've got Maine at 33 cents in California. Sorry, go ahead. Has anyone else? You got Maine at 33 cents and California at 15. Has anybody else passed a similar bill?
Well, Japan did after Fukushima.
Yeah, but no other American state.
Not yet. It's on the ballot in Florida.
Okay. All right. So that's the three. And the 99 cents in Germany, is that still in place?
Yes. If you signed a contract initially, which I met several farmers who did, who bought into the contract when it was first proposed in 1992, I think the 99-cent rate continued on until about 1995. And then they started, which was the plan, as the cost of a solar panel fell, the legislation was written to say, we will lower the rate, because what we're trying to do is just pay back people for buying solar panels.
So what is the going rate now in Germany? If I build a house in Germany and I put solar panels on it, how much am I going to get the utility for?
I think it's 49 cents.
49 now?
Yeah.
That's still a pretty good deal. I'd take 49. Maybe I'll move to Germany now. So we got. What makes you think that New Mexico is vulnerable now? Why do you think it will happen there?
Because they have so much solar, and it's just like gold coming out of the sky, and people are looking at it, and they're seeing what's going on around the world, and they're saying, look, we could be making $1,000, $2,000 a month income from the sun. Just before you called, I was on the phone with a banker talking about buying building 10 solar-powered houses in the town of Alameda here. And I said, look, I asked my banker, I said, have you ever talked to a banker from Germany on how they factor in the value of solar for the building of these houses? And he said, no. So I invited him to a banking conference July 12th in San Francisco, in which I'm going to introduce him to German bankers who will explain to him. In Germany, they value solar. They've set a price on solar. Solar is gold in Germany. And so they consider it part of the equation when you're building a 100-panel solar house.
Well, so we don't have really a banking system in place for that here. The bankers here don't know about this. That's pretty interesting. Jacques, maybe you should go to that conference. And check it out.
I'd like to hear more about it. Paul, we need to talk when this is done.
Yeah, I'll email
my phone number.
Put you in touch.
Please call me.
Don't do it on the line. I'll put you guys together by email on when we're done with the radio show. How's that?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, you guys should definitely meet. Paul is a spectacularly effective campaigner there, and really knows his stuff as well as anybody in the country, that's for sure. So what I would have to suggest, by the way, that the state most likely to go next, at least in a general political way, would be Colorado. Colorado actually has spectacular solar. So 300 days of sun, and as you know, solar panels actually work better in cold weather than they do in warm weather. And you also have a muni, at least, being fought over in Boulder, and there are a number of munis in the state, including, I think, Colorado Springs. So you may want to look at Colorado. Colorado also, of course, has great wind power along the Front Range. So be a great combination there. Paul, does this bill in California affect wind power? Paul Kangas? Did we lose Paul? Hello? Jacques, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, I guess Paul disappeared on us. So, this is a huge deal. The bankers getting in. Of course, you know, we're facing that problem with bankers with legal pot. All these pot dealers now who are in Colorado, Washington, Oregon. Where else do they legalize? In D.C. Are unable to get banking. And I know as a homeowner now in L.A., it's going to be a big deal for me. I do not want to lease my solar panels. I want to buy them. And especially now with the PUC doing this, if those limits are lifted in L.A., you know, we'll be able to go into East L.A. and South Central where there aren't many trees, that's for sure, and thousands and thousands of houses in that area will be able to go solar. I mean, it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
The DWP was standing in the way, really, which is infuriating for a municipal utility. They own 10% of the nuclear plants outside of Phoenix. And if we can force them to take solar in the city, that's going to be a big deal, really big deal.
So, Paul,
you back?
Okay.
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, you are back.
Jeff, I want you to talk
real quickly about your book on big hydro. And where do you think big hydro is going to go? Are we going to get rid of some of these?
Well, it's interesting. It's on the one hand, there's an international boom that is led by Chinese companies, but not just Chinese. Brazil is also prominent, and a few other countries. And dams are being built all over the world. But at the same time, there's more and more evidence of not only their environmental destructiveness that I think is well documented, but that they're not even good investments. There was a landmark study that was done at Oxford University that came out 2 years ago that basically said after conducting the most thorough review ever done of large dams, that most of them should not have been built. When you have these mega projects, and those are projects that cost at least $1 billion, the time period is so long that there are all kinds of unforeseen things that can happen. And with a dam, you have to plan it at least a decade in advance before it starts producing energy. When you put it in a poor country, there may be huge inflation problems as a result, and the loan that that country gets to build it is provided in hard currency. The revenue that the dam earns is often in a very soft currency, and many of these dams have produced really enormous economic problems for the countries that produce them. And I think increasingly there's going to be an awareness of this, and as these other forms of energy come along, I think that the era of hydroelectric dams, maybe it has a decade left or two decades, but I don't think much more than that.
Well, it's good. Let's get them shut down. And both you guys in California, how does this change the dynamic on shutting Diablo Canyon?
Oh, it increases our odds by 50-60% because this is how Germany shut down all of its nukes. And everybody out here in the movement knows that. And when they see that California now has passed the same law that Germany has, people are going, oh, my God, we've got another arrow in our quiver.
Wow.
And Jacques, this company that you mentioned with the Wellhead Hydro, is that a California company?
It is.
And are they looking to do business in California? Do they have prospects to add to the mix there?
They do. I'm a little hesitant because they seem not quite ready for a lot of attention, and they're moving very deliberately, but they're certainly looking into installing these things in irrigation canals in the Central Valley, and at the same time, they can also double for aquifer recharge. In the Central Valley, the groundwater has been depleted in a horrible way, and it's going to run out pretty soon. But these little dams, essentially, they're, you know, these mini dams, they slow down water. They're like beaver dams. And as they slow down the movement of water, they give the soil a chance to absorb it. Well, if you put them in irrigation canals and direct some of this water into ponds that you install nearby or in places where the aquifer beneath has been utterly depleted, you can use that water to recharge the aquifer. So it has two great benefits at once, and that's what they're talking about doing.
Fantastic. We're close to running out of time. Jacques Leslie, how do people get a hold of you? Where do they see your books and your other work?
Well, certainly the books are on Amazon. They can check out my website. Just put in my name, and that will come up. And that will talk about the book on dams as well as a memoir about covering the war in Vietnam.
Yeah, boy, I'm going to have you back. I was so grateful to hear Bernie yelling at Henry Kissinger. It really brought me back, boy. That was wonderful. Paul Kangas, where can people get in touch with you and plug into your great work?
I have a YouTube site. It's Paul, the number 8, the figure 8, Kangas, K-A-N-G-A-S. And I blog at blogger.com. And it's my site is Solar 100%.
Is that spelled out?
Yes. The solar is spelled out. 100 is a number, and percent is a word. Yes.
All right. Well, listen, you guys, you were spectacular. We're going to have you back on. It was a great show. I'll send you the URL. Thanks to the crew in New York. We'll be back next week with another Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Take care, everybody.
Solartopia. All over God's green world.
Will we bid the